Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for this time to come together in praise and worship of you, to hear your word and to learn from it and to grow. We ask that you open the eyes of our hearts and our minds. Let us know that your word, but to actually understand it and know how to apply it in our lives, and guide us in how to share it with others in the world as we leave here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. While they're figuring out the PowerPoint here, there was some kind of an update with the software that we use. Like, as you guys know, for a couple of weeks we're having smooth sailing there, and then some update happened and. Yeah, it's just been goofy ever since. Something just did not update properly, but that's okay. Again, it's great to have everybody here with us. Welcome to everybody joining us online as well. Last week, we looked at the question, are you a Scrooge, right? We kind of picked up, we're using Scrooge as our illustration this month, after we watched A Christmas Carol, but are you a Scrooge? And of course, the answer that we came back with is that we should all be able to say yes, right? We tend to forget. We just think of the old Ebenezer. We don't think of the new Ebenezer, right? It's kind of like the Grinch. People think of the Grinch, and what do they think? Right? This grumpy, goofy, green guy probably has a medical condition. I don't know. That's just not a natural color, right? But... But still, the Grinch was no different. What happens at the end? His heart grows how many times? And he finds the reason for the season, right? Just like Scrooge. And that's the thing is, and that's what we're going to be looking at today, is when we come to Christ, we have a new identity. We become a new person. As the word says, a new creation, right? And part of that, though, is we also have to be accepting of that new creation. And not only just for ourselves and what we become, but for others as well. We like to hold on to people's past instead of helping them to embrace their future. It's kind of a hard pill to swallow. We cling to the old, right? And the Bible warns us about that, not holding on to the good old days. And really, when we look at the good old days, if we actually reflect on it and we look back in history, we quickly will realize they're not quite as good as we remember. They had their issues as well. All right. But like I said, we're going to continue to use Scrooge as our illustration. So as we start, we have to ask ourselves, why is Scrooge still remembered for being a humbug, right? That's this big thing. Bah, humbug. My mom is over here kind of smiling because she'll say something when I'm leaving the house. Hey, be careful. And I'll tell her, humbug. Right? Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. But if we think about it, and we think about the transition of Scrooge, what is it really? Right? It's pretty sad, given the fact that this is how his character is remembered, even though he was totally transformed, totally renewed as a man. He came to know the Christmas spirit again. But it's like the old saying, you can do 100 good things, but you mess up one time. One time, and that's what you'll be remembered for. In the case of Scrooge, it's a bit reversed, though, right? 100 bad things, and then he turns a new page. And really, in our lives, that's how it is for us, right? We lead these lives. We're born. We grow up in the world. All this worldly stuff. Regardless of what our families may do, what our friends may do who do go to church or try to encourage us to go to church, what do we still get hung up on? What do kids still get hung up on today? What do most adults still cling to? The world, the worldly stuff. But then you come to Christ, you're born again. The people see that. The people want to see that. No, they want to cling to the past. You know, it's a paradox. You know, in fact, being in the Christmas season, someone's a bit grumpy, right? Kind of angry, maybe a bit of a curmudgeon. What do we usually call them this time of year? Scrooge, that's right. Ah, don't be such a Scrooge. Lighten up, pal. It's Christmas, right? It's not the way we should be doing it, though. The sad thing, though, is because of the life he did live up until the very end of the story, he did become a universal illustration of a Debbie Downer in this season of giving, in this season of love. He was a miserable, old, angry man, which in and of itself makes his transformation into a new man even that much more miraculous, because he was a very, very hard man. We can safely say he's one of the hardest of men. And we could see the exact same thing about several other people in the Bible. And there's one specifically we're going to be looking at today. So I'm going to encourage everybody, let's go ahead and open our Bibles, Bible app, whatever you have, to Acts chapter 9. So Acts chapter 9, we're going to start off with verses 1 through 9. We're going to go through this chapter pretty good today. So Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. And just for time's sake, I'm going to go ahead and start trucking through here while everybody's turning there. And the word says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." So Saul, who we later know as Paul, that's who we're talking about here. He was a bad dude. He was a real bad dude. Right, this right here, this guy, he made it his personal mission to go after Christians. Right, he was the RoboCop of his day. Dead or alive, you're coming with me, right? He didn't get, he wanted them done. He wanted them gone. He wanted to break the church and destroy it. You know, it was his personal mission. He was running Christians down. You know, right here, it's talking about, he's getting papers. Basically, he was getting orders. He was getting the judgments, the decrees to say, hey, if you're a Christian, you were to go with this man. He was your bounty hunter. Plain and simple, right? To put it in modern terms, of course. You know, he very much had that attitude that the only good Christian was a dead one. That was his mindset. He was very devout in his beliefs and what he stood by. He didn't question it. He didn't question what he heard or was told by his elders. He latched onto it and he ran with it. And he ran hot and heavy. That is until this moment. You could say he'd come face to face with Jesus. Right? Granted, he didn't see anybody. There was a light. He knelt down. He closed his eyes. He got up. He didn't see nothing. He was blinded. Took away his sight. It's kind of like the song Amazing Grace, right? Once was blind, but now I see. Saved a wretch like me. Literally blinded. Couldn't see. The men who were with him heard the voice as well. Like, what's going on here? It's kind of scary, isn't it? It's like, whoa, what? Where's this coming from? There's only one place it could be coming from, right? Ooh, we must have messed up. Just like Scrooge, Saul was an evil, broken, hardened man. The hardest of the heart. He had no intention of changing at that point in his life. He was in desperate need of redemption. He was in desperate need of the salvation that only comes from Jesus Christ. God saw the redeeming qualities within him. The qualities that no other Christian could see in him. Even his own people were scared of him. So it's pretty incredible to see this transformation, you could say metamorphosis, taking place. Now he was dead set against this Christian God and the people who followed him. All right, we're going to pick back up in the reading now. We're just going to keep on trucking through verses 10 through 19. So Acts 9, 10 through 19. And the word says, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight. And inquire at the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief of priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer in my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus." Hallelujah is right. So much like Scrooge, his reputation preceded him. People knew of him long before he even came around the corner. It's kind of like my belly before I turn a corner in a room, right? It's just right there in front of me. Yeah. But that's how he was. That was his reputation. People were terrified of him. His own people even were like, this is not a guy I want to run into in a dark alley. I'm glad he's on my team. Because this is very much the guy you want to make sure is on your team. You did not want to upset him. Not even in the slightest. People, to say that they were intimidated by him is putting it lightly. It's not even a strong enough word. They were downright terrified. You know, he's the kind of guy, people would avoid him if they could. He was a bloodthirsty zealot that was out to destroy the church. and going to visit him as a Christian? This is like walking up to the hangman with your own noose, saying, I'm ready, here you go, string me up. That's what it was, 100%. And Ananias, he knew this. He absolutely knew. That's what he's playing with. He's like, Lord, seriously? You want me to go to who? This dude's going to kill me. At the very least, he's going to string me up and you know, chain me up and take me to jail. Bad stuff is going to happen. That's his line of thinking, right? Not only that, but here's a Christian. This is one of God's children. It's like, this is Saul. Lord, do you not realize how hard he is? There's no way this guy can become one of your children. There's no way this guy could ever be a follower of Jesus. Are you kidding me? Really? Are you serious? But being a good and loyal Christian, you know, he's like, you know what? I'm going to voice this concern, because we should. When we pray and we're worried about something and something's scary, right? Because this is a scary situation. We should definitely be praying. We should be taking that burden and unloading it at the feet of Jesus Christ, right? And that's what he's doing. Because he swallows his pride and he goes. He steps out in faith as a loyal servant and does exactly what the Lord told him to go and do. See, and this is why it's important. When the Lord puts it on your heart that you need to go somewhere, that you need to go and do something, you just do it. You don't question. Some of us, we go about it kind of half-hearted too. It's like, oh, I want you to go here and I want you to do this. Okay, fine. We kind of drag our feet, right? We're kind of slow because we don't know what we're going into. Instead of being like, you know what? The Lord told me to do this. Let's do it. I'm game. Tag me in. I'm going in, coach, right? When the Lord says go, he's doing it for a reason. When he's put it on you, he's done it for a reason. And it very well may be a reason like this, because he's using you as a tool for a miracle in somebody else's life. To go and remove the seeds of doubt in their life. And that's what was happening here with Ananias. That's what was about to happen with the disciples. They're bringing about a miracle in Saul's life. Jesus has already taken away his vision. Ananias is going to be used to give him back that vision. And then not only that, but to spend time with the disciples to learn what the word truly is, who the Lord truly is, what had been missed by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these other people of high esteem that he had known throughout his life. You see, he didn't. When we look at this, you have to realize he didn't just spend a little time with him. He didn't spend minutes with them. He didn't spend hours with them. He spent days with them, learning, soaking it in. See, and this is the thing, this is one of those places as well, as we're about to see a little bit more of. The word tells us that we need to forgive, that we need to pray for our enemies. We need to forgive everybody. It doesn't say we have to trust them right away though, does it? Forgiveness and trust are two different things. Trust, just like a relationship, takes time. It takes time. It takes effort, because once you've broken trust, it takes time to get back in the door. It does. Amen, Ted. Amen. So we're gonna finish off this passage here in verses 20 through 28. There's a few more verses after that, but this is what we're looking at for today, right? So Acts 9, 20 through 28, the word says, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? And he has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by the night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Think of it this way. Your sworn enemy, the guy who is out to end your life, right? And he doesn't just want to beat you. He doesn't just want to cripple you. He wants you dead. And now all of a sudden you're expected to welcome him in the door. How would that go over? Think about that for a second. How well would that go over? You're supposed to welcome this guy in the door and worship God together. Some of us can't even bring ourselves to talk to certain coworkers or certain managers, let alone invite them to church, which is exactly the place we should be inviting them. We should be praying over them. There's a hesitancy on this part. They're just in fear of him. Like, no, this is a bad dude. Why? I'm not even a waste of breath. You should. You absolutely should. And that's what's happening here. You see, as the church, all too often, we fail worldly people. Not only that, we fail new Christians. We fail new Christians. You ever think of that? I mean, they come in the door, and we're like, oh, cool. You know Jesus. You want to get baptized? Great. And now all of a sudden, we expect them to know everything that's in the Word. I can tell you right now, I'm a pastor. I don't know everything that's in there. I have a lot to learn. We got Pastor Mike. He still learns stuff all the time. Darren, Gary, my wife. We got Brother Ted over there. I guarantee Ted's great. He can pull up. He's one of these people who's really great at citing the book, the chapter, the verse. But even he still learns. All of us have stuff to learn. I don't care if you have one of those photographic memories where you read something once and it's still there. You have things to learn. We all do. But we fail people because we put them at bay. We want to stick to our cliques. Barnabas himself, he knew this well. He'd seen it himself. He himself was a new convert, right? Not as new as Saul, but he was a recent convert to Christianity as well. And he recognized this because he'd seen the same thing that we deal with in our day with kind of pushing people away happen back then as well. So he stepped out. He used his voice. That's right. He spoke up. And he became the bridge between Saul and the apostles. Saying, brothers, you're missing. It's like you of all should know better. Forgive him and give him a chance. Let me tell you what I saw. Let me share some testimony with you. And that was what was needed to bring down those walls. He knew Saul had become a new creation in Christ. So he stepped into that gap and interceded for him. Literally, Saul, who'd come a full 180 degrees from who he was and has now been preaching for the Lord instead of persecuting him. It's hard when we see it. We see it in churches all the time. People we know are drunkards, but we don't say anything. We turn a blind eye. People we know that have other addictions, porn, gambling, maybe certain drugs because they're legal now or they're the acceptable type in society, right? But then somebody comes through the door who's desperately in need, and we don't want them here. They're down and out. And all of a sudden, oh no, you can sit here, but don't make a ruckus. Don't cause a scene. And as soon as we're done, back out the door. That's even if they get in the door in the first place. There are places in this city that have people looking at the doors and watching cameras. And if they see somebody, get them off the property. That's not right. That's not what we're called to do. For all we know, this is somebody who just got out of a rehab facility themselves. They have nowhere to go. They have no one to go to other than going back to their old life. So they're coming in desperate, looking for Jesus because they've heard just a little bit and they want to know more. And then we're shunning them and pushing them back out the door. I could tell you last night, we had a lady, she came in here. She'd just gotten out of the hospital. She still had her bracelets on her. She was coming in. She was just looking for a little help and a little joy. We welcomed her in. It was wonderful. She did what she needed to do. She used the bathroom. She got some coffee. She visited a little bit. She hung out for a while. She got warm. And I'm not doing this to boast, because then we had other people in here. This whole back row was filled for quite some time, and a few of these other benches. We had a lot of people come through last night. Matter of fact, we ran out of cocoa. So at first, I didn't think we had enough cocoa. We ran out quick. We had some people that would come in, though, and they'd take a look at her sitting over here, and they'd turn around and they'd walk right back out that door. We had people who were over here, and as soon as they saw her, they moved over here. That is not right. That is not the way it should be. I have to applaud Brian. He did a wonderful job last night. Tess was out here, and she's telling people, hey, if you need the restroom, you want something to drink, or you just want to warm up, our doors are open. Come on in. And he's out here with everybody. Hey, what can I help? We got cups over here. We got coffee over here. We got cocoa over here. Yeah, the restrooms are back here. What else can I get you? Very warm, very welcoming, the way it should be. It was wonderful. Yes, praise God indeed. Amen. Just like the other day after we got done with our movie, and Pastor Mike and Darren here, both of them, they went right out. We had a ton of food. And what did they do? Hey, we got some food. Are you hungry? That is the way we should be acting every time. Because just that little bit of kindness may be the only kindness that they're going to find. And it may be the only time that they get to see Jesus for a while. Because of the stuff that they're dealing with and the world that's in front of them that they're trying to escape. It may be the one thing that brings them to knowing Christ and being saved. But then when we see someone who comes from that background, all of a sudden we're judging. Next door in the tattoo shop, we have some amazing people. One of the guys himself is more than happy to share his testimony. He was sharing it last night. People see him like, this is a scary dude. He looks like a thug. He's got the tattoos, right? The bald head and all that. But he's a wonderful dude. He says, you know what? I wish I had this when I was a kid so I didn't have to learn it from the county. But people see him and they still want to run the other way. Shouldn't be that way. Like, you know what? God bless you, man. How can I pray for you? We should be recognizing it's a new creation. This is temporary. This is what binds us to earth. This is what fights us every step of the way, because it's not going with us, so it doesn't care about Jesus. It cares about what it can get right now because it knows it's on borrowed time. And we need to recognize that when somebody comes to us. And be like, you know what? Even if you are new in Christ and you're still an infant, you're still on milk and you're not up to meat yet, we will get you there. Come in and have a seat. Welcome to the family, brother. Welcome to the family, sister. That is what Saul was dealing with. That's exactly what he was dealing with. We don't see the struggle that people deal with to reconnect with loved ones who have turned against them. The struggle that they go through with dealing with jobs or adjusting to a new life. When people look at us and they look at our past, we want them to know, hey, stop looking for me there. I don't live there anymore. But what about when it comes to us and how we look at them? We start judging them based on their past, not where they are now. We need to change this. This is a failure on our part as the church. This is the failure that Saul had to deal with. Saul, who became Paul, one of the greatest disciples, right? Is one that we look at very endearingly now. So we need to extend that same courtesy to others that we want extended to us. For Saul, the struggle was very, very real. He had a long, long road in front of him. He had gone from being the persecutor to being the persecuted. His old reputation did him no favors. None. However, like Scrooge, his life had come a full circle. He was no longer the man he used to be. He was no longer hardened, but softened to the Lord. He was a new man, a new creation. And just like each of us, he had to leave the old behind and embrace the new. That can be hard. That can be scary. He had to start walking with the new. He had to start walking with Jesus. And I'll remind you, nothing, absolutely nothing in this world is too hard for our Lord to overcome. There's nothing in this world that is too big for us to ask for the Lord to help us to overcome, and he will walk us through it. He has the power to transform every man, woman, and child on this planet and to give us a new life, something new to run toward and to embrace, provided we put our trust in him. But the biggest part of this, though, is in order to do so, we have to learn to forgive others. We have to learn to forgive ourselves. And it's never too late to do so. We hold on to grudges and we hold on to them way too long. So I'm going to encourage y'all, I'm not saying to trust everybody. Trust is different. Trust takes time, just like a relationship takes time. But we have to learn to forgive and we have to learn to love again. That is what we are called to do in our commandments and in our hearts. Life becomes so much better when that happens. In doing so, like I said, you will find the greatest gift of all, that gift from the Lord of love, mercy, and grace in your own heart. From the one who came and died for you so that you could be reunited with the Father. All right, and before we go to pray here, I'm going to encourage everybody to just hang out just a little bit longer as I get done because Brian's going to come up and he's going to lead us in a communion here after I get done praying. All right, so let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and never giving up on us, even when we've given up on ourselves. You pick us up, you dust us off. You help us get reoriented and start moving forward again in the way that you need us to go. Help us to accept that none of us that believe and trust in you are the same person that we used to be, that we're changed and we're continuing to change. We're continuing to grow. Our character is changing and evolving with it to be, you know, become more like you and less like the world. Help us to accept that in you, we've all been made new as well. Help us to see that there's a better life and a better future ahead as we follow you. We thank you for all this, all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that we know you will do because of your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.